Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob.
And wherever you may be on this July 4th holiday, we welcome you to Talking.Golf. I'm Rob Hernandez, joined by Gary D'Amato, and it is our nation's holiday. By the time this posts, it will be, I think, actually on the 4th of July. We're recording it on the 3rd of July. This will be our only podcast between now and the end of next week, when we'll look back on the state women's am, but then also look ahead to the Wisconsin State Amateur at the Legend at Merrill Hills coming up in 2 weeks. And it's amateur championship part of the summer calendar, Gary D'Amato. We have little periods of the calendar. We have the state women's open early in the season. We've got the state men's open at the end of the season. The state ams are in the middle. The U.S. ams are coming up. We've got some junior stuff, match plays, and junior championships coming up. And the calendar flows pretty well. Luckily, this is kind of a little bit of a lull here over the 4th of July holiday.
Yeah, we've got a couple of days off, just coming off the Ray Fisher, which we'll be talking about in a minute here, which was a really fun tournament to cover. It always is. And we've got our women's and men's state amateurs coming up, Rob. So, and you're coming back. You go home for a week or two and come back for the men's state amateur, correct?
That is correct. I'll be flying in a week from Saturday, or maybe, a week from Saturday. It's also, we'll talk about that. It's also, overlaps with another big event in town, the Republican National Convention, which will make it a busy, busy time to be in the Milwaukee area. It'll be fun to be able to, cover the tournament, go back and watch the coverage of the convention. It's a presidential election year, so that's big. And so it'll be, but we're going to be hopping. It's no doubt about it. And we'll break down what we're expecting at the Women's State Am here in just a couple minutes. But I wanted to start because when Gary and I were up at U.S. Amateur qualifying, the local qualifier, it's weird to say local qualifier for the State Am qualifying again. And it's something that, they've had in place for the U.S. Open qualifying, but this year you're qualifying at a local qualifier to get to a sectional, and then the sectional advances you to the U.S. Am, which this year's up at Hazeltine National in Chaska, Minnesota, where I just came home from. I spent the weekend up there, my wife and I and our youngest sons visiting our oldest daughter, We just kind of, spent the weekend having fun. And then Monday and Tuesday, Rachel and I played in the Minnesota mixed team. And yesterday we were playing with a father-daughter duo from near Rochester. And he was asking me if I knew this guy who qualified last year for the John Deere Classic and asked if I had heard that he qualified again. And I said, well, most certainly I do know who you're talking about, Anders Larsson. Who you and I, talked to. You'd done the homework. We were trying to figure out, there were so many different names in that U.S. Open local over at Stevens Point Country Club a few weeks ago, but Anders was one of them, and you did the homework and saw that he qualified last year for the John Deere Classic. Well, he does it again, and the daughter of our playing partners, mentioned that, he's transferring, as he told us, from Tennessee Tech University to Eastern Kentucky. He feels he has a better opportunity and got a pretty good deal to transfer there after he went in the portal, and that he's going there, but his girlfriend wasn't real happy about it because she's on the girls' golf team or the women's golf team and is staying. And then she kind of bubbles up and goes, because she found out what I did, and said, well, you might know her. Her name's Reagan Stuckey. And sure enough, and so I mentioned to Reagan, I said, I have to apologize, Reagan. Gary and I didn't put two and two together that you're the girlfriend who's at Tennessee Tech, and then I had to find out, playing in a tournament. And so we sent a selfie of our group over to Reagan, and she sends a selfie back. She was down at the John Deere Classic in one of the practice rounds, And so she fires back a selfie of her and Anders, and then we had a big long exchange in the middle of a tournament. But that's we were kind of having fun. it was a mixed team thing. We'll talk about in a second. But she mentioned that she got she and Andres got to talk to Jordan Spieth for a while. He
wow.
Killed this year down at the John Deere, and then they hit it off with Nick Dunlop, who won as an amateur earlier this year out at Palm Springs, and then instantly turned professional. And they were planning to play in a practice round with him, presumably today. Now, Reagan Gary is not on the bag for Anders this week, and she said, "I'd not be good pacing off numbers." But his new coach at Eastern Kentucky is, and they had never met. It was their first time meeting him, and the guy, I'll have to look up his name. He played on the mini tours for a long time, and they figured it would be a great way to get to know each other. And I thought, boy, what a wonderful idea, you know, to be able to do that. So Anders has his coach on the bag, and you know, Gary, I mean, he played Stevens Point Country Club really well. He'll be playing the sectional qualifying, the final qualifying for the USAM coming up. What a way to kind of, you know, gear up for it. It's Justin Tereshko is the new coach, or the coach they'd be playing for over at Eastern Kentucky. And he at one time was ranked among the top 100 amateurs in the world. And and at the 2014 U.S. Amateur, beat Xander Schauffele 7-6 in match play in the round of 64. So he's an accomplished player, so he'll know kind of how to steer him around. But we had a great time talking to Anders Larsson, and who's from, you know, the Rochester, Minnesota area. And it turns out that Anders and the son of the guy that we played with yesterday played high school golf together. They didn't go to the same high school, but their teams co-op for golf. And what a neat story. The people we played with are driving down to watch the John Deere this week and cheer him on. So a lot of excitement about what Anders Larsson did, but kind of cool how small the world is here, especially the Wisconsin golf world.
It is a small world, Rob, and I was thinking about that while you were talking about the relationships there, and thinking about a young man who now is qualified, Monday qualified for the John Deere 2 years in a row. I assume he had a pre-qualify too, right? Probably?
Probably. That would probably
yeah.
be – yeah, absolutely.
So to get through pre-qualifiers twice and to get through Monday qualifiers twice for a PGA Tour event for a guy still in college, really, that's quite an accomplishment. I was looking through the field, Rob, of the John Deere, and you mentioned that they got to talk to Jordan Spieth. I see that Jason Day is back in the field of the John Deere. I don't think he's been back there since he made his professional debut there. I covered that John Deere and clearly remember talking to an 18-year-old Jason Day who had just come over from Australia playing in his first tour event, and I believe maybe the next week he teed it up at Brown Deer Park for his second PGA Tour start and had a really good week in the GMO. I think he finished, like, off the top of my head, I'm going to say it was a top 15 finish as an 18-year-old kid just over from Australia. So there's some cool stories to follow at the John Deere. You know, Spieth, two-time winner of the tournament back there. Jason Day playing there again, and our new friend, Anders Larsson. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Pine Island, Minnesota is the hometown. You are right, Gary. He had to shoot a 67 to get through the pre-qualifier, and one of the guys that missed in that pre-qualifier by one shot was Harrison Ott. And in the final qualifier the other day, the pre-qualifier and the qualifier that he played in were both at Pinnacle Country Club in Milan, Illinois. And at the final qualifier, the Monday qualifier, he shot 67. He was in a 4-for-2 playoff. And one of the guys that he knocked off in that qualifier who did not get through was Mike Van Stickle, the former Marquette great and
wow.
son of our good friend Gary Van Stickle. And, you know, Mike Van doesn't play as many of these qualifiers anymore. He's still a professional. He came so close. And, you know, I mean, for years we've been following Mike, you know, on Twitter. And, I mean, that's kind of been the story for Mike Van Stickle chasing these Monday Qs is, I mean, he has probably, you know, has set a world record in number that he's missed by one.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to his father, Gary Van Stickle, about Mike. You know, he's teaching now. Mike is teaching now in the Pittsburgh area. I think he's teaching at an indoor place, maybe like a Golf Galaxy or someplace like that. But he's joined the Pennsylvania PGA section. I think there's two sections in Pennsylvania, so he must be in the West Penn section. And all the golfers in that section, all the other club professionals are irked because, you know, he's got this great playing background and he is cleaning house, I guess, in the section and winning almost everything he enters. And it's kind of like an Omar Yarester. Remember that?
Yeah.
When there was a big hue and cry when Omar started entering, club professional stuff, a guy who formerly played the tour and winning stuff. Yeah. I guess the same thing's happening in Pennsylvania with Mike Van Sickle. So it's kind of a funny turn of events there that he was he lost out in that playoff.
It is. Yeah. So and then one other qualifying note for the John Deere Classic, the APT Tour, the Men's All Pro Tour. They had an event last week at Metamora Fields. I believe it's outside Chicago, Metamora, Illinois, and the Children's Hospital of Illinois Championship. And it also close to Peoria, but the first round they used as a qualifier for the John Deere Classic, Monday qualifier. And so the top six got in there just like the other two sites of pre-qualifying. And another close call for a Wisconsin golfer, Hunter Eichhorn, shot 665 and missed the top six by one shot. And so it was, you know, another opportunity, you know, in Hunter's grasp. And then to make matters worse, on Sunday, Saturday, I guess the tournament ended, Hunter, after firing rounds of 65, 64, 65, shot 69, and he bogeyed the last hole, but he needed a birdie to catch the leader, Gavin Cohen. So he went from one shot back on the 18th tee on the final round in second place to finishing tied for third. He did pick up $7,000, but a couple of close calls both ways. If he had turned that bogey into a birdie, but he played well all week. And again, you just don't know. You know, as you read in the results, things change from week to week, but another great finish for Hunter Eichhorn, another great opportunity that was just missed for Hunter Eichhorn, who did qualify for a Korn Ferry event, and then I think he top 10 to get into the following week's event, but now back chasing Monday qualifiers. Kind of the way things go here in the dog days of summer for guys on the mini tour, like Hunter Eichhorn, and even if you're in college, like Anders Larsson.
Yeah, those Monday qualifiers, Rob, we talk about this quite a bit. It's got to be so frustrating to travel to a spot to play your heart out, to play well, and to miss, advancing or four-spotting by a stroke, shooting 65 or 66. You got to be leaving there sometimes wondering, what do I have to do to advance and get in these tournaments that I want to get in so badly? It's a very, very hard way to try to get into PGA Tour events or Korn Ferry Tour events, but you got to hold your head up, I think, if you're Hunter and Harrison and guys like that who are just missing out on these, and know that your day is coming because they're certainly on the cusp.
So, no, as I said, no Wisconsin golfers in the field this week at the John Deere, you are right. I think it was 2013 for Jason Day was his last appearance there, was it a year later, 2 years later, when Jordan Spieth won? Actually, I think it might have been, it might have been longer than that for Jason Day, because they were quizzing him on that. And then they showed, Spieth's victory was 13. And it was cool because they're just showing that on Golf Channel here on Wednesday. And Stricker was in contention for a while. That was after his three-peat. And Jerry Kelly, finished one back of the playoff that Jordan Spieth won that year, which I didn't realize. And
I remember.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So that's good stuff down at the John Deere Classic. So something to follow. The only thing going on in golf this weekend. It used to be that the Western Open was always 4th of July weekend down in Chicago. Now it's the John Deere, and then we go to the Scottish Open to the British Open. British Open had their final qualifier, and I noticed that Oliver Farrell, the former Marquette golfer, missed by I believe it was two shots at one of the qualifiers yesterday. So another close call for a golfer with Wisconsin ties. Gary, we do need to talk about the weather. When we played in the Minnesota amateur mixed team the last 2 days, the first day we dodged rain. It was a really good day to play. Yesterday we get to the course about 8 o'clock and it was overcast, and then it started to drizzle a little bit. It missed it a little bit. It felt like down here in Arizona, those misters you have off the back patios in the summer to keep people cool. That's about the extent of the rain. And I thought, boy, this is kind of annoying. But then when we got in the car after the final round and after everything was done and noticed that we lost the WSGA Senior Tour doubleheader at Black Wolf Run, which is, you know, for the senior guys, that's kind of a one they all point to. It sells out quick, and, you know, who wouldn't want to play, a Stableford format at Black Wolf Run? So we lost that. We lost a couple of Junior Tour events on Tuesday, and then the last of the State Am qualifiers, the 12th of the 12th at the Woodlands course at Lithonia in Green Lake was reduced to 9 holes. It was holes 1 through 7, and numbers 17 and 18. I didn't see, you know what? I'm not even sure if I updated the scores from that. I posted them, I think, before there was like a 10-for-1 playoff for the final spot. And as we're talking here, I'm getting a text from Jeff Perkle about the stadium preview, and I'm sure there might be something regarding that qualifier, perhaps. It could be something else, too. But it's just been a difficult year to run tournaments. And Gary, not only that, some of these courses that we've shown pictures of underwater the last few weeks, South Hills up in Final Act, where we lost the women's state match play, and then the Rock Golf Club in Waupun, which had major flooding. They got 3 inches again overnight. The course I've been following, this little 9-hole course up in Weston, Crane Meadows, cannot get its 9th hole dry. And they're talking about opening 8 holes and just letting the public play that. I mean, they're losing. They haven't been open in almost 2 weeks. This is scary.
I think I read somewhere, Rob, where it's the fourth wettest spring summer on. Early summer on record, at least in the Milwaukee area, and maybe in other parts of the state, it might be even higher than that. It's I kind of judge the spring by my wife's garden, Rob. She hasn't been able to plant anything yet because it's a swamp back there, and I feel bad for all these golf courses that are losing revenue. Thankfully, you know, a lot of courses were open in February and March when we had that spell of good weather. But that's not going to make up for all the lost revenue if it keeps raining like this and they keep having to not only close, but you know, golfers. I played Nagawaki last Friday, Rob, but that course is always packed, but there was a threat of rain, and indeed it started raining on about the 7th hole, and that course was pretty deserted, and that's very unlike Nagawaki on Friday.
Yeah, in the middle of summer, I mean, that is that's incredible. And, yeah, we don't want to lose people now we've got them, and and that'll be a trend worth watching. I was just going to look up here to see the Women's State Amateurs at North Shore Country Club in Mequon on Monday and Tuesday of next week. And what do we got there? 54% chance of rain on Monday, 58% chance of rain on Tuesday. We've got rain chances of about that much on Friday the 5th and Sunday the 7th. Fortunately, after that, it looks like it's going to let up a little bit. The Tuesday of State Amateur Week for the men is a 42% chance of rain, but the temperatures will be a little bit warmer. But it really is interesting. Where my daughter lives in Chaska, and, you know, that's where the USAM will be, next month at Hazeltine, and then the alternate site for the qualifying rounds will be over at Chaska Town Course. We had a chance to practice there on Sunday, and that all looks good, but the river, the Minnesota River in downtown Chaska, they had to close Highway 41 over the bridge because the water was up to the bridge. It's only up that high one other time, and I think it was in 1959 maybe 1965 or 63, but and then they had to open a dam or a levee and let the water run into their baseball stadium for their hometown baseball league, and that was up to the scoreboard over the fence. It just mammoth amount of water, and as we were taking off last night, as I was coming back here to Arizona, I mean, the waterways that we flew over, you could tell were all crested way above their banks, and including, I think, the Mississippi that we went over on the way to on the way to Stillwater Country Club for our tournament, and it just won't stop. And it's, you know, The memes with Chris Farley, you know, yelling "just make it stop" were funny at first, but now it's just getting a little bit too repetitive. And we've got a lot of big tournaments coming up, and this is stuff a lot of people look forward to every year. And we've already lost one major women's tournament. It'd be a shame, you know, to lose anything more.
It would be, yeah. We'd like the women's match play, and so hopefully, even though there's a threat of rain, they'll get the women's amateur in next week. So yeah, it's just been another strange weather year. I just hope we get a spell of dry weather here coming up so that we can get some of these tournaments in. The other thing that is happening is, you know, even if courses are open, a lot of them are losing card revenue, Rob, because you can't get cards on these really, really wet courses. So it hasn't been a great 3 or 4 weeks here, or even longer. It probably goes back 6 or 7 weeks now, this on and off again in rain. You know, it'll be nice one day, rain the next day, nice the next day, and rain after that. And we just can't seem to get out of that pattern.
Well, like you say, we hope we get the Wisconsin Women's State Amateur in on Monday and Tuesday. I'll be monitoring that on Monday remotely, the 36-hole opener, and you'll be there on Tuesday, weather permitting, for the 18-hole finale. Gary, I'm going to do a short preview. You know, we don't have the numbers yet to get, you know, qualifying for this. There's not quite the extensive breakdown that we have for the men's state amateur the following week. But I'll say this. It would appear that the field is full. There is a four-person waiting currently. And I think they basically have filled a 2T start from 7:30 a.m. until 9:30 a.m., which is, as we found out yesterday at our tournament, is about as many people as you can pack in the front end, because those first golfers are going to have a lead at the turn. And only about five of those groups are first flight golfers. The other ones will all, I think it's close, it looks, just eyeballing it, probably close to 60 or 70 golfers that will be playing 36 holes starting at 7:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Monday at North Shore Mequon. And Gary, what do you want to know? What can I tell you about the women's state am?
Wow, it looks like a pretty good field, Rob. I see Izzy Stricker's in it. I see, McKenna Nelson's obviously in the field, right? I'm going through the field right now as we speak. McKenna didn't get to defend her title in the women's match play. I'm sure she's looking forward to this one. But what can we expect from some of the top players in the state here, Rob?
Well, it's funny because a lot of them, the recent champions have turned professional. And so we don't have as many, past champions as you would normally expect. And last year's champion, so Chloe Chan is in, but Vanessa Ho, who won it last year, is not. And I have a feeling that there's probably something back in San Diego that Vanessa's playing in, so she's not coming back. The three champions before her, Emily Lauterbach, Bobby Stricker, and Tatum Beck, are all, you know, trying to make it out there on the Epson Tour or the Annika Women's APT. Sarah Busey, who won in 2019, is, I'm guessing, traveling the country with her boyfriend, Hunter Eichhorn, and or recruiting for the University of Chattanooga down in Tennessee, where she's been an assistant coach. So I wasn't expecting this based on the conversation I had with her at the AmFam Championship, but Rebecca Klonglin, who won five of these in a row from 2014 to 2018, is the most recent champion in the field. And, Gary, I think she's probably going to use this as a warm-up for the women's U.S. Mid-Am qualifying coming up in about a month at Nagawaki. So she's one of only two champions that'll be in championship flight. Sid Wells is the other. She won it in 2007. Sid, one of the only mid-am or older type players in it. Maggie Leaf must be off doing USGA stuff next week, and so she's not in. But 18 golfers who were in the top 25 at last year's state-am, including Izzy Stricker, who finished runner-up, and Nora Roberts, who was T3, Hannah Duff out of Janesville, T3, Chloe Chan, T3. You mentioned McKenna Nelson at T8. Lauren Lupinick of Oconomowoc, headed to Western Michigan this fall. She's in it. Elise Hogan, the Wisconsin State Women's Open champion here last month, she is in the field. So it's a solid field, and a lot of golfers either looking to build resumes for college or in college looking to, you know, kind of gain experience for this fall. We've got a lot of those as well. Ava Soleil in the field. She's a Badger golfer who made it onto the travel team for Big Ten. She finished sixth a year ago. And then you've got, you know, golfers like Grace Suter, Kylie Walker, who didn't finish in the top 25 last year, but did finish in the top 25 of the Player of the Year points last year. So a lot to look forward to at North Shore next week.
The other thing I noticed, Rob, and it's making me feel old, is we've got the daughters of some very good playing club professionals in our state in the field. Alyssa Helmanen, Ryan Helmanen's daughters in the field, and Addison and Ava Roche, David Roche's daughters are in the field. That makes me feel old, Rob. I don't know about you.
It sure does. And we wrote this week that Alyssa Helmanen, who has been at Xavier the first 2 years of high school, to spend her last two up at Shattuck St. Mary's, looking to try to you know, play on a more year-round basis in tournaments, so that'll help her do that. And so, yeah, it's really kind of an exciting time for golf in Wisconsin. We'll also have the Golf Coaches Association of Wisconsin College Showcase up at Whistling Straits Monday and Tuesday. We'll have coverage of that. We also need to look back. I just hope with all these events, Gary, we're on a run of overtime golf tournaments here the last few weeks. You're coming off the Ray Fisher, where you could have drawn names from a hat that final round, and I bet you would have had about 10 of them out of that pool that would have been at the top of the leaderboard at some point. It wound up being former champion in Dusty Schwab, and then a Badger golfer in Jacob Beckman going to sudden death, and Schwab wins. What's the deal with all these extra playoff holes in our amateur tournaments this year?
I don't know, Rob, but a week or two before that, I covered the WSC match play. There was a 25-hole semifinal and then a 21-hole final with Adam Garski and Ty Kretz. And then I go to the Fisher, and, you know, that, of course, goes to extra holes. Jim Kelch, our fine photographer, and I were commiserating over all the playoffs and extra holes we've seen this year. It's but on the other hand, that's fun. It was a great – the Fisher is always, for me, a very – very much fun to cover tournament because, you know, guys go out and make birdies in bunches. The leaderboard goes up and down. Players rise and fall. And it's always close. I mean, there have been very few runaways in the Fisher. I think Jack Schultz, you know, won by three maybe like 6 years ago, and he had to shoot a 26 under, you know, record score 262 to do it. Otherwise, it's either a playoff or a one-shot, you know, nail-biter at the end. So it's always a fun tournament to cover for me.
We also had a playoff last weekend in the U.S. Senior Open out in Newport, Rhode Island. Richard Bland beats a golfer I never heard of from Japan, Fujita.
Yeah.
And Steve Stricker was there most of the weekend, but just couldn't catch Fujita. You know, Steve put a different putter in the bag, and it looked like he trusted it for three rounds, and then it looked like it betrayed him in the final round. I was watching, you know, this 2013 John Deere Classic, where he's making a lot of putts, and it looked like an old, an old Scotty Cameron with a really big face for what, you know, what we see on putters these days. I don't know. You know, it's hard to believe that a guy who's so good at putting is struggling with the putter, at least at key times. Like he said in interviews last weekend, he's just not making the clutch putts like he normally makes to kind of make people fear him and impact the leaderboard that way.
Yeah, it was strange when I turned on the TV and they showed Stricker putting, and I sat up straight in my chair. I said, what is he putting with? I'd never seen anything close to that kind of club in his hand. It was a drastic departure from that Odyssey White Hot that he's been putting with basically for 20-some years. I mean, with a couple times he twitched for a week or two, but that's been his gamer for decades. And to see that the putter he was using in his hand was a jolt to me. But, you know, it's all relative because Steve Stricker, when he thinks he's putting poorly, is still probably putting, you know, really good compared to the rest of the field. But he depends on that wedge and that putter. That's where he makes his hay. And so apparently he feels that – I read somewhere where he feels like when he sets up with that Odyssey White Hot, he's pushing everything to the right. And with this new putter, he's not doing that. But then again, when you have a new putter in your hand for the first time in, you know, years, I'm sure that takes some getting used to. So we'll see what he putts with next time we see him, Rob.
Yeah, it was kind of jolting. It looked a little bit like the putter that Pearson Hunt's been using, not quite a long putter, but it's longer. It looked like, and certainly the grip was thicker than we've seen, I believe, on some of Steve's putters. So the interesting fourth place finish for Stricker. Jerry Kelly, nursing a bad back, T16, really kind of struggled a little bit, I think, in the final round, but managed to gut it out and had what I thought was a pretty solid performance. Mario Tiziani, a final round 66. I believe this is his best finish in a senior major at T22. The other guys in the field all missed the cut that had Wisconsin ties, including former Badger Ben Walter and we think John Olson from Belleville. I haven't confirmed that yet. I can't confirm it's the same guy, but and then Brad Lanning, the club pro out of Hortonville, and there was one more, I thought. My USGA leaderboard, where I had them all starred, has eliminated those last two that I had. But that is behind us. As we look ahead, Gary, we can look ahead to maybe at some point, later in the year, regional travel. We've got the first of a few stories that you have on places you've been posted to the website, you stopped back this year at the Lookout Mountains Macklemore Resort, and my goodness, a lot of earth being moved there.
Yeah, they're building a second course called the Keep at the top of Lookout Mountain, and it's the views up there are just spectacular, Rob. It's going to have a soft opening this fall, and hopefully I'll get to do one more Masters, I hope, and maybe go back to Macklemore one more time and play that new course. But I've got a story coming up on our website from a trip I took to Branson a couple months ago, some great courses in Branson, and it's a popular spot for Wisconsin golfers, so that might have a pretty good readership. Where are you playing your golf these days, Rob, and what trips do you have planned?
Well, I finally get to do one of these golf trips, I'm not sure if you're going to do the one that I couldn't make. We have a vacation scheduled, but in mid-September, they're doing one to North Alabama. You are doing that. Good.
Yeah.
So you've got the North Alabama one in the middle of September, and then I've got the Gulf Shores one at the end of September. Never been to the Gulf Shores of Alabama. And our friend Pam Shaheen is arranged for a couple of media tours later in the year. And I mean, those are exciting for me, to do because so many people we come into contact with are traveling to play their golf, and they're playing a lot of golf in the wintertime. And some of the standby places like my area here in Scottsdale, getting to be very pricey during the peak season, and it's kind of fun to introduce people to other areas. Gary, in the minute that we have left here on Talking.Golf, what are you looking forward to about North Alabama, and what can you say about some of the unsung golf destinations in this country?
You know, I've never played the Robert Trent Jones Trail. Just about everyone I know has played those courses, or some of them, and it's going to be my first time down there to play those in North Alabama. I'm excited about that. We got to get back to Myrtle Beach one of these days, Rob. So much, we used to play the Golf Writers Championship there. So much good golf there. Maybe we should plan on a trip together there one of these days.
Gary, I like that idea. Let's talk strategy on Myrtle Beach when I get back for the state amateur in a couple weeks. For now, that's all the time we have for Talking.Golf. On behalf of Gary D'Amato, this is Rob Hernandez. We'll talk golf again next week.